שעשה את האוסרת כל תבואת זרעתה יותר שדה שנה על שנה. So the Torah here talks about the mitzvah of giving ma'aser. Of course, in the olden days the ma'asot was given out of the wheat. Aser ta'aser kol tevuat zara'echa. Hayotzer sadeh shana shana. Because in the modern times, that we don't live, at least us in America, an agrarian society. We have commerce, we have business. So the ma'asot is given on kesef, on money. And the Gemara says on this, Aser, Ta'aser, Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev. Aser, Ta'aser, Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev. Give the ma'asot in order that you should become wealthy. Everybody knows that Gemara. Aser, Ta'aser. And the Gemara says that that's a sigula to become wealthy, but they don't know the source of it. Which means that Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev, there's a backdrop to that story. There's a story behind the Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev. It says that there was a yinuka. Ahu yinuka. Yinuka is like a baby, child. That was coming out of the yeshiva. It's Gemara Ta'anit. And the Gemara says that he saw Rabbi Yohanan. And when he saw Rabbi Yohanan, Rabbi Yohanan said, you know, what did you learn today in the yeshiva? Pesukli pesukha. What did you learn in the yeshiva? That was always the rabbi just to test the kids. So he told him, oh, today we learned Aser, Ta'aser. We learned the Pasuk of Aser, Ta'aser. Rabbi Yohanan answered back to him, Aser, Ta'aser. I'll tell you, Hadush, Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev. He explained to the kid that. Aser, Bishvil, Shetetashev. So the Midrash says on this, that's the Gemara and Ta'anit. The Midrash says on this that Aser Ta'aser Ha'ud Ikhtiv. This is what it says in the Pasuk. Lev Chacham Dimino Lev Kesil Smolo. Lev Chacham, the wise man, Lev Chacham Dimino. He always goes to the right. Lev Kesil, the imbecile, the smolo. What does it mean? The imbecile goes to the left always, and the acham always goes to the right. What does that mean? I once explained it. Is there's two types of guys that pray on Yom Kippur. They pray with the mahzor of Yom Kippur. It's like 500 pages. So you have two guys. They're holding the mazor. One guy's always looking how much he has left. When is this going to be over with? And he always has his hand like this, you know, trying to eat up the pages. And then you have another guy, you know, he looks at the right side. Baruch Hashem, look what we accomplished. Well, when learning Gemara, there's two guys that learn Gemara. One guy opens the Gemara and says, oh, look how many more pages we have. Oh, we're never gonna finish. Another guy says, no, Baruch Hashem, look how much we learned. So this is the right side of the book, and this is the left side of the book. So the person says, Lev Hakam, Limino. The Hakam always looks at the right side of the book. What he accomplished, how much he did. The Lev Kesil, the Smolo. But the Kesil always looks at the left side of the book. How much he has left to do, when he gets depressed. When's it going to be over already? You know, when's the mahzor going to finish? So that's a derash on Lev Hakam Limino. The Lev Kesil the Smolo. But on this, the midrash says Lev Hakam Limino and Lev Kesil the Smolo. What does it mean? What does it mean? Begabe Aser Bishvil Shetet Asher. What does it got to do with Lev Hakam Limino and Lev Kesil the Smolo? Giving ma'asot, what does it got to do with the right guy and the left guy? The pasuk from the midrash is not appropriate, not applicable. So, Kedushat Tzion has a nice piece on this. Kedushat Tzion says like this. There's a Gemara that says, in several places, the Gemara says, Devre Torah, Aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Devre Torah, they're poor in one place, but they're rich in another place. What does that mean? Devre Torah aniyim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher. Simply it means, when you're learning a sugya, sometimes when you're learning the sugya, in the place that you're learning, the commentaries are very limited. They don't talk so much. But they quote on the side that this Gemara is also in a different place. And when you get to the other place, you see, oh, that she has a long explanation, or sort of a question. So, you always have to know that although the Devre Torah is aniyim in one place, it's ashir in a different place. Just because you came onto the place where it's limited, try to find out where else this Gemara is, where else the Sashi talk about it, and Hakamim, they put the treasure in a different area. So therefore you have to know that rule. Otherwise, if a friend doesn't know that rule, every time he opens up a Gemara and there's a problem with it, he's going to close the book and say, they don't talk about it. You have to know the rule. It's poor in this place, but it's rich in a different place. So therefore go to the other place and study it. That's a simple interpretation of the Gemara. But there's a deeper interpretation, and that's as follows. In the beginning of one's career, when he studies Torah, it becomes very, very difficult for them. Torah is a struggle. You're just trying to understand concepts, and you're trying to understand, you know, the style of the Gemara, and the language of the Gemara, and, you know, it's a hard subject. In the beginning, it can be very, very discouraging, this limud. The Midrash says in Parashat Noah, the choshech al penei teom, the Talmud Bavli. It's choshech. It's darkness. Very, very hard, challenging subject. To get the shakla b'tariya, to get the logic of the Gemara, and to understand, you know, the proper way of learning it. It's a difficult challenge. There's nothing to talk about. The choshech al penei teom, the Talmud Bavli. However, one has to know that eventually, after a person gets his footing, all of a sudden it clicks, and all of a sudden his brain starts to get it. And all of a sudden he's able to understand Gemariyot, and he's able to understand a lot of... But you have to go through that difficult time, but eventually it opens up. Like any wisdom, that, you know, you put your effort into it, and then all of a sudden it'll open up. And then all of a sudden when he gets a little older, after he has a couple of years of learning, and he starts to open up sugyot, he has a lot of fluency. It's only because, you know, of the time that he studied when he was young, that he made these investments. So that's what it means when it says, Devre Torah aniyim b'makom echad. That means it's aniyim when he's studying it as a youngster. It's aniyim, it's odd, but he doesn't understand the question, doesn't matter. But ashirim b'makom echad. Later on, the Devre Torah becomes ashir. It's automatic. The Gemara says in the Gilan, based on the new interpretation, it says, Yagata umatzata ta'amin. If a guy toiled in the study of Torah, and he found it, he accomplished it, ta'amin. That means what? Believe him. Which means that's something that's believable. You could believe him when he says, I toiled and I found. And all the Mephashim ask the same question. The word toiling is a work. Finding something, you don't find something by working. Finding is, you find something by say, Adad. When a person's walking down the street, he just finds it. He doesn't find it by, you don't get up in the morning and you work to find something. You find it, it was off your mind. You have to walk down the street, it's $100 on the floor. You found it. Wasn't that a toil? So the yagata or matzata doesn't match. So the Mephashim explain it like this, based on what we're learning now. That the yagah that you have when you're young, all of a sudden when you get old, it'll be like a metziah. It'll come to you easily. It'll come to you And that's supposed to be the attitude that the student has to have when he's young. He has to know that eventually this yigi'ah is going to turn into a meti'ah. It's going to become easy like butter. But during the yigi'ah time, you don't see that. You become depressed. And you get all discouraged. And you say, oh, I'm never going to get it, and I'm never going to understand it, and it's too difficult. But every great rabbi that you see today, toiled, exactly. That was the yigi'ah. And the Gemara is saying that Yagata will always lead to Matata. It'll always, not at that moment necessarily. Could be it's like years of Yigi'ah, but eventually, all of a sudden you start opening up Sivyot. I understand it based on the Gemara I learned when I was younger. And I have a question, oh, that's what I meant when I looked over there. Oh, it starts to click. All of a sudden things start to fall into place. All of a sudden things start to become clear. You say, wow, it's unbelievable. Of course, because you have all the Yigi'ah behind you. So Yagata will eventually lead to Matzata, where it's going to be easy, and that's the same thing when it comes to giving charity. Just like the Bnei Torah is poor in one place and rich in another place, charity is the same exact thing. Ma'asrot is the exact same thing. Why? When you're giving charity, at this point you have to give up from your money, and a guy comes along and might say to himself, "What do you mean? I'm making all this money now, and now I'm minus 10%. So why should I give minus 10%? He has enough bills. Now you got to give another 10%? So tzedakah is also ani b'makom echad. At the time that you have to give the 10%, it's a loss. However, it's ashir b'makom acher, which means what's the ashir b'makom acher? Eventually, the Torah guarantees you that that 10% that you gave, it's going to come back. Not right away. Okay. A person might be giving his 10% for a few years. And he's coming out and saying, I'm giving. But I don't see any... And he makes the calculation. And he says, in the past year I gave $50,000 to tzedakah. I'm living on the same standard. Nothing came to me yet. That's the same thing with tzedakah. Tzedakah aniim b'makom echad. In the beginning, it's difficult. It's a mechanat aniyut. However, ashirim b'makom echad. Eventually the Ashirut is going to kick in. Just like the Bnei Torah, Yagata or Masata, Tzedakah is the same thing. If you toil in the charity and you give it, even though it's a difficulty in the beginning, eventually, so far, Oshadavu, the Kavod is going to come, the wealth is going to come. Well, according to this, the Kedushat Tzion explains, unbelievable. He says, the Pasuk writes, Orech yamin bimina, ubismolah osher lechavod. Orech yamin bimina. Orech yamin is orech yamin, the long. Orech yamin, the long days, the long time. Orech yamin bimina, ubismolah on the left side is what osher lechavod. So he says like this: When the right guy gives charity, when the good guy gives the charity, even though he's giving up, right away he sees what? He sees the future. Lev hakam nimino. He already sees the orech yamin. He already sees the end. He already sees, I'm not giving up anything. Eventually this money's gonna come back. He sees the long-term element of it. The orech yamin. That's what he's looking at. And therefore, the money that he gives at this point, although he's losing the 10% now, but he's looking in the long term. And he says, this is a great investment. For me to give this 10%, Orech Yamin, Lev Hakam Nimino. The wise man's Lev is always in the future. And that's the way he gives. He doesn't regret it when he gives it. However, the Lev Kesir is smaller. The Lev Kesir, he's looking at the Osher. And he doesn't see the Osher. When he gives the 10%, he's saying, where's the money? He doesn't have the patience to wait for the ma'asim to kick in. He only sees the, and when he doesn't see the osher coming, so he gets despondent. And he's giving his ma'asim, he says, what am I benefiting over there? So the Kedushat Tzion says, that's what the Midrash was saying. Lev hakam nimino, but let kesir lismono. So what happened over here? This student was coming out of yeshiva. Like the young student that's in the yeshiva and he's learning, and young guys in the yeshiva, at the beginning of their learning, they're a little down because they don't get it. I mean, they're struggling in the time. They don't understand what the Rebbe is saying. They don't understand all these concepts. and there's other guys that are older than them that, you know, are ahead of them probably, and therefore, you know, they get jealous. Look at this guy, knows everything, and I'm sitting in here, I don't know anything yet. So that's the time of Divrei Torah Aniyim b'makom echad. He's in the time of aniyut, he's in the time of difficulty. So that kid came out of the yeshiva, and Rabbi Yohanan asked him, what did you learn in the yeshiva today? So he said, Aser te'aser. He said, I learned the pasuk of Aser te'aser. That what? Aser te'aser means give the 10%. Which means he was understanding that Yohanan understood. He was saying, I'm struggling. I'm giving. Aser te'aser. I don't see any blessing yet. All it is a loss. I'm giving the 10%. I'm learning and everything, but I'm still an ani. So Rabbi Yohanan consoled him. Rabbi Yohanan told him, "No, you don't know what the depth is, my friend. Aser b'shvi'is it's asher. You have to know that the ma'aser is going to lead you to osher. The Divrei Torah aniim b'makom echad, v'ashirim b'makom acher." He was giving him like a pep talk. He was saying, "No, don't tell me aser ta'aser. That's lev kesi l'smolo. You have to be lev hacham d'imino. You have to see the long term of it. And even though you're learning now in a struggle, but yagato masata, that you're yigiyad will lead to a mitzia, and you have to see the mitzia now. And when you see the mitzia now, and it's Hashem guaranteed that the struggle is going to lead to a mitzia, just like they guaranteed that the ma'asid is going to lead to osher. So the wise man, he sees already the orichenim, he sees already the next thing about it. But the lip can see the small o. He's looking for the osher. Where is it? He doesn't see it now. You're not going to find the osher now. It's a process. So therefore, the conversation between the Yohanan and the student, although it felt like it was a conversation in charity, it really was a conversation in derech alimud, in learning. Obviously, what is the Yohanan telling your kid? I'll say the truth. He's a kid. He has no matzvot. One on the $1.50, he gets the allowance. He's giving. He's telling him, "I'll give you 15 cents." That's nothing. The Hadush of the Yohanan would tell the student that. It must be the student. He had to relate to him on something that. Nogayat. Now what's Nogayat to the Talmid? The Nyan of the learning. So when he heard him say, Asid to Asid, he understood, you know, I'm giving them Asid, but I don't, to loss, I'm struggling. I said, no, you have the wrong attitude. Asid, Mishvish to Asid. When you're giving the Asid, you have to already see the Oshid already from day one. You have to see the Mitziah from day one. You can't be despondent. That's the path. Then Hakam de Mino. The Hakam is the Hakam of the Nolam. He sees the future. Orech Yamin de Mina. However, small hours of Elif Kassir. He's only looking for the bottom line. And the bottom doesn't come right away. Bottom lines take a long time to reach a bottom line. And the Kassir is bottom line oriented. The rabbi has to see a result. If he doesn't see a result, he falls out. That's Elif Kassir. Elif Kassir is small hours of Elif. You can't look at the profit on day one. You have to know. I do this, it's going to come. What do you mean, Bimina? One day. So that's the comfort. That's the comfort that he had. On this inyan of the tzedakah, it's well known. The ma'aseh that the igra, the pirka in Siman Yudalid. He tells a story. There was a Badhan. Badhan is like a jokester. And he came to the Igrat de Pirka Erev Shabbat in order to tell him like a joke, to get him into a good mood, you know, to go into Shabbat. So he wanted to tell him like a nice one-liner. So he tells the rabbi, he said, Miskin da'ani, da'ani is miskin. He says, he works the whole week, he doesn't make any money. Whatever he saves, the little money he saves, he goes, he spends it on Shabbat, and he buys food, and not like the rich guy, everything's easy for him. He goes, he buys stuff, Shabbat comes and goes, but the poor guy, Aziz, for him to make a Shabbat is a struggle. And then what happens, the custom in the olden days, even the Benish Chai brings it down, on Shabbat, he used to read Masechet Shabbat, the 24 chapters of Masechet Shabbat, Mishnayot. He would read 8 chapters on Friday night, 8 chapters during lunch and 8 chapters during Seudah Shlishi in order to finish the Masechet. Every Shabbat they would finish Mishnayot Shabbat. So he says, now the Ani, he opens up Friday night, okay, Mishnayot, Yitziot, Shabbat, 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 The Ani is standing outside in the Shut al-Abin, and Ba'la Bayit Bifneem, and the Ba'la Bayit is standing inside. Pashat the Ani et Yado Bifneem, the Ani stuck his hand inside and took a piece of bread from the Ba'la Bayit. Then Atam the Tuk Yado Shal Ba'la Bayit, or he put it in the Ba'la Bayit's hand, or Shal Atam the Tuk Yado, or he took it out of the Ba'la Bayit's hand and brought it out. Ha'ani Hayab. So he says, Miskin the Ani is already struggling to make a Shabbat, and the first thing he reads on Shabbat, Ani Hayab. He tried to make the rabbi laugh a little, like, you know, the guy, he can't win, like we're learning about that this week. The poor get poorer. Not enough that he can't make a Shabbat. He figures to open the Shabbat, they're going to give him a nice word of comfort, a nice word of nechama and all that. The first thing he learned, Daddy, what did it say? Ani Hayab. Hayab, okay, Hayab also. Not enough. So this is what he asked the rabbi, this question. He was asking him as a joke. But the rabbi took it very seriously. Rabbi, when you heard this, he came along and said, I'll answer you over Shabbat this question. The Matan wasn't expecting an answer. It was a joke. All of a sudden, on Shabbat, the Igra, the Pirka comes to the Ani, to this guy, the Matan, and he says, already I made Aliyah to Shamayim, and in Shamayim I got the answer to this question. It's a serious question. He says, you know why the Ani is Hayav? And he is Hayab because he stuck his hand in. He made his tadlut. He shouldn't have stuck his hand in. He should have relied on Hashem and the bread would have came to him by himself. And he Hayab. That's what he said. And he is Hayab because he stuck his hand in. He shouldn't have stuck his hand in. He should have waited for the rabbi to give him the food. That's how he answered. Now, the question is a sketch question, obviously. But he took it seriously. That he's answering them. The answer is much more difficult than the question. What does that mean, the scheme? You're not the biggest tadlut? Why is he Hayab? So what should he do? He has to sit home and trust Hashem. You'll have to go to work. Why is the Ani Hayab? So if I can explain it, based on Rabbeinu Ari. Rabbeinu Ari says that when a person gives tzedakah, so how does he give the tzedakah? He's actually spelling out the Shem Hashem Yudke Vavke. How is he spelling out the Shem Yudke Vavke? The coin is the Yud. It's in the rich man's hand, it's a head. When he sticks his hand out, it's a vav. And when he puts it in the Ani's hand, it's a head. Yudke Vavke, which is mercy. When a person gives tzedakah, it's a katatzil. Why? Because the Yudke Vavke is being spelled out. Yudke Vavke is the shem of the Hamim. However, in this case over here, what happens? The Ani, he couldn't wait for the rich guy to give him the food. So what did he do? The Ani stuck his hand in. And therefore, he did the Vav first, and then the Heh, and then the Yud Heh, that's the Hayah. The Hayah is the name backwards. And therefore, Havayah. He did it backwards. And but now, whenever the name of God is backwards, it's Midat Adin. Yud Ke Vav Ke Le'agif Ki Yashar Adonai Tzulib Ad Avdat Tabo. When the name of Hashem is Yashar, Tzulib Ad Avdat Tabo, then there's no Dinim. However, when you do the name backwards, so therefore, that's what the Igrad Pirkan meant. When he said the Ani is Hayab, because he should have waited for the Asir to put his hand out to give it to him. Not because of Ishtadut. Because then he would have spelled the name properly. And with this, the Mefashim say something incredible. They said that that's the Inyan over here of Masechet Shabbat. Masechet Shabbat starts off Yetziot Shabbat. Tosafot has a question. Tosafot has a question. The first question of Tosafot is what? He says, first of all, why didn't the Mishnah begin off with Hotzaot Shabbat? That's the thought. Yetziot, Hotzaot Bale Lemitni. Carrying. We're talking about transferring the Mishnah to Shabbat. Hotzaah. Yetziah is the wrong word. Yetziot Shabbat. Yetziot means
taking out.
Going out.
Okay.
Exiting, entering. It's not the issue of exiting and entering. It's hotza'ah. It's transferring. So Tosfot has a question on the syntax of the Mishnah. Hotza'ot avinu limitni. Tosfot says, okay, we have an emes within the pasuk, that's why I use the word yitziot. But what's the real answer? What's the real answer why the Mishnah said yitziot to Shabbat? So since already we're talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah over here, why with the tzedakah? Because obviously the Ani is going to the Ashir in order to get tzedakah. And we're learning over here the proper way to give tzedakah. And why is the Ani Hayav? The Ani is Hayav, we said, because he took a sin and he ruined the sin. So the Mishnah begins. Yetziot HaShabbat. Yetziot HaShabbat is what? Yud He. The Mishnah is hinting to in Yetziot HaShabbat, the order that you're supposed to do the Shem. Yetziot HaShabbat. If it would have said Hotzaot HaShabbat, then you have the wrong order. So then the Rabbeinu HaKadosh in his genius was hinting for us over here, Yetziot HaShabbat. However, you only have two letters. You only have Yud and you have a He. However, if you take the Yud, Yud, how do you spell Yud? Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. How much is Yud Vav Dalet? That's 20. And here is here Aleph. How much is here Aleph? Is 26. So therefore, in these two letters, really, you have all four letters. So that's what it says. Yitziot Shabbat Shtayim Shehen Arba. It's really Shtayim. It's only two letters, Yud Keh. But the Yud Keh is really Arba. Because if you do the Yud Keh, you get to Chabad, you get to 26. And therefore, that's the remez of the Shem. So therefore, once already the Mishnah wanted to teach you this remez of Tzedakah, that if you see Chabad, it's your Shabbat. And since we're learning Masechet Shabbat, we know that Shabbat is the same concept. That's why we start the Kiddush on Friday night. Yom HaShishim, Echadu HaShamayim. Yom HaShishim, because Shabbat is Yud Keh Vavkeh. Because Shabbat is no dinim. Shabbat is all the Berachot of the weekday come from the Shabbat. So therefore, when we start Masechet Shabbat, we're connecting the Mitzvah of Shabbat to the Mitzvah of Tzedakah, which is the same concept. So we're saying Yetziot HaShabbat, not Hotzaot. Yetziot HaShabbat, Tzayim Shen Arba. It's two, but the two become four. And therefore, the Pasuk is hinting to us, the Ani is Hayab in this case. Because the Ani should have waited for the Ashiv to come out, and as a result that he didn't, so therefore he was Me'oreh Dinim on himself. And that's what the pasuk says at the end of this parasha. The pasuk says at the end of the parasha, "Ish kematenat yado, kevirkat Hashem Elohecha Hashem natanah." So the Mefarshim explained, what does it mean, "Ish kematenat yado"? Ish, the man, according to the way he gives, kevirkat Hashem Elohecha Hashem natanah. So what is this kematenat yado, kevirkat? It's to say, "Ish matenat yado." What is it, kematenat yado? And then it says kibirkat. What's the kiz over here? It's just say, ish matenat yado birkat Hashem. The guy gives whatever matenat yado, he gets the birkat Hashem. But it doesn't say that. It says, ish ke matenat yado. So the simple interpretation is, well, it's relative. Ish ke matenat yado, based on what he gives, kibirkat Hashem. That's going to be the birkat Hashem. The birkat is going to be equal to all people. If a guy gives more, and he can do whatever, and it's whatever he's given right, he'll get a bigger barakah. The guy gives less than he should have given more, he's going to get less. So it's a ratio. The kimatanat and the kibirkat go, each kimatanat yado, kibirkat. They go together. The barakah and the matanah go together. Go slow. So the explanation we said in the pasuk is like this. That the Berachah of Hashem is dependent on what? Rabotai, what are you answering this for? The question wasn't a question, it's an answer, not an answer. Ish ke matanat yado ke berachat Hashem. What's the explanation? Tzedakah obviously is done biyad. Oh, it's so annoying. Ish ke matanat yado. What does it mean, ish ke matanat yado? So the center of Far Hirsch once said, ish kematenat yado. You want to measure an ish? The way you measure ish is kematenat yado. That's the barometer of an ish. The way he gives. The doctor once saw a patient that had a heart attack, and the doctor went and started taking his pulse. So the guy said, "Doctor, it's my heart. Why are you checking my hand?" He said, "From your hand, I know how your heart is. Ish kematenat yado. From the hand, we know the way a person's heart is. Ish kematenat yado." But basically, what we're saying like this, kematenat yado means the way his hands move during the mitzvah. Whose hand moved first? Which means, if the hand of the rich man moved first, so then already he did the yud, he did the he, he did the vav. However, if the rich man did not pursue the ani, and the ani, like in the case of the Mishnah, had to stick his hand in, now already instead it's going to be me'orer dinim, because he did the... So therefore the pasuk is saying, ish kematenat yado kibirkat Hashem, which means, Like he gave the gift with his hand, depending on the configuration, that's going to also affect the beracha. And therefore, the question then obviously is, and we'll conclude with this, so that's why the Mishnah starts with Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shein Arba, Shem Shein Arba. With this, we explain, I saw the Sefarim bring down, what does it mean, the Gemara says that the Pasuk in Mishle, Yad Liyad Lo Yenakera. You're not supposed to put money into the lady, into the hand of a lady. You have some guys, on the standing on 7-Eleven, there's the man, and then there's the deep. The guy says, I'll get a quick thrill. The guy's a pervert. So he stands online with the G over there, just to get a glimpse of the G. He can look at the, you know, whatever he's looking at. And then he gets a little thrill when he gives the money to a hand. You know, he gets a little excitement from this over there. These are some people, you believe it, there's people like this over there. You say, but sir, the line is empty over there. No, I'll wait over there. That's it, he stands over there. Shemin Zegev Ondo. So what's the explanation? Why did he do that over there? The Gemara says, Yad Yad Lo Yinakeva, Lo Yinakeh Medina Shel Gehinnam. He's not going to be exempt from the Gehinnam because of this Yad Yad. I saw one time, I'm not going to say, we were in one of the meetings with the rabbis, and I voiced an opinion on something, and this young rabbi, whippersnapper, he came along and said, oh, you're against Siniut, you're against modesty. So he's a rabbi in a shul. He's like an associate rabbi, whatever he is. So he took all my CDs, and he said, you cannot bring the CDs of the rabbi in the shul. I was in a rabbinical council meeting, and he's against Siniut, and he put it out. I told one of the guys in the kollel, watch your eyes on this guy. Watch the guy, because this is extreme behavior over here. And you got to be always cautious. When a guy comes out like this, there's something fishy over here. Fine. That same guy, we saw later on in the store, Avenue S, the mini mart, and there was a guy, yeshiva guy, and he's behind him. And the yeshiva guy is paying the lady, and he puts the money on the counter. All quarters, and how does yeshiva guy pay with his stamp? Coins and all this azata, $2 in every single coin you can imagine. Atimonim and the pesos, and he had the shillings from 1,000 years ago, the poor G. So now she has to pick up each one to count it. But she knows she wasn't complaining. So this rabbi says behind, why don't you give it to her hand? You're allowed. So what's the problem over here? Hey, slow down. I'm watching the guy. This is the guy screaming about Tiniut. And then he says, it's okay to give it to the hand. This guy's a zaifan, he's a wise guy, he's a fishy guy. P.S., a couple of months later, the guy got caught, a married guy got caught doing avon with a jeep. Guy got caught, they had to throw him out of the yeshiva, they threw him out of the shul, they threw him out of the thing. And all the guy, this guy's screaming about Siniyot. He's screaming and making a whole noise over here. So you see what? Yad le yad lo yin a kid. Achamim are right. Be careful. Yad le yad. Yad le yad. So therefore, what are we saying over here? So now what's the question? What if a man comes into the shul now and want to give tzedakah? So you give him tzedakah. You have kavanah. Yud he vav he. But let's say a lady comes in. Sometimes they have these ladies in the hallway. They want to give tzedakah. Now what are you going to do? You're going to put it in a hand? It's not proper. But you want to do the Yud Kebabke. So we said many times with the Ben Ishai, said, do it in your own hand first. Which means, take the Yud, here's the other hand. Make a transfer, and then put it on the table, and let the lady take. So at least you can still make the Yehud, but you shouldn't do it with the lady. All of a sudden, now the guy's making Yehudim with ladies. All of a sudden, the guy. If she's standing up. I'm just saying, give it, put it in your own hand, and then put it on the table when you go outside. She'll figure it out. She'll figure it out. To get the money from Jimmy, she'll figure it out.
I don't touch it. I give her a bill and she takes the bill.
You touch it. Don't be wise. You do touch it.
Rabbi, you're giving
me a compliment. I'm looking. I'm looking. I got to protect my students. What are you talking about? So now, they have a cup. He's right. They have a cup. Jimmy, they have a cup sometimes. They have a cup.
Rabbi,
why don't you just let me finish my story? I want to get out of here. Rabbi, you never told me. So the point is, this is what the Mishnah says at the end of Masechet Kiddushin. The Mishnah says at the end of Kiddushin, Kol mi sheyesh lo esek im nashim, lo yitzhahay b'mahim. That means if a person has business with women, he shouldn't be alone with them. For example, a person is he sells makeup. He wouldn't come to the store all day long. Women. Today, men also come, but in the olden days. when they still have two bathrooms in the olden days. In those days, they had two bathrooms. So the ladies used to come to buy the makeup. So it says, what? Call me church or Esekim Nashim. You shouldn't be alone with them. Make sure the door's open, make sure the window's open, make sure it's not locked. But this is true. But the deep interpretation is, Kol mi sheyesh lo esek im nashim, it means esek shel mitzvah. He has the esek of tzedakot. So therefore what? He has the esek to give tzedakah to a lady. However, the person says, lo yitzhahed emim. Don't make me yichud yudke vatke with them. Because that's already, that's lo yitzhahed emim. Don't make me yichud. Guy all of a sudden making all the ladies over there. So if I put it in your own hand and figure it out, put it in the cup or put it on the table. So this is what it says over here. Ish ke matenat yado. As the way his hand is moved in the way of the tzedakah, can berkat Hashem. That's the way the berkat Hashem is going to come over there, and that's why the Agrat the Perkat said, "Ani hayav, ani hayav," because he stuck his hand in. What you stick your hand in for? You mean, Ani, you need your mazal to change. If you would have waited for the rich man to stick his hand out, then already you would have gotten the Shem Yitzke correctly. And that's why the Mishnah says, so that would hook to Shabbat. Yitzhiot Shabbat, Yitzke, Shtaim Shen Arba. Just like the Shabbat, is Yom Mitzhishim Echol HaShemar.